The following has been rated PC for politically correct.
Sports Talk 750.
My quick smells like fresh toast.
That's what she said.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Excited for today's show. It's the special edition of Drive Time Sports as we gear up for the next Fierce Fighting Championship show, which will actually take place this Saturday at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. It's a P-Town beatdown. That's what this one has been labeled. And we're going to focus entirely on this weekend show today. We got plenty of local fighters that are going to join us to talk a bit about it. And to get things off and rolling, we have Fierce MMA and fitness owner, also the Fierce Fighting Championship owner and promoter, Cody Bunderson, joining us right now. Cody, always fun to get you in for these shows.
Oh, for sure, buddy. It's fight week. I'm excited.
It's fight week, definitely. And you guys are back home. You and I had talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You love putting on these shows here in Price. It's just a different feel.
Oh, definitely. Beyond a doubt. We have been a traveling show in the past, but, I guess home is where the heart is. And, yeah. My heart's down here in Carbon County, and so I want to continue to put on more and more shows down here. That keeps growing each and every time. I think the community loves it. They get to bring out the entire family it's an all ages show. Some of the shows in Utah aren't all ages. So it's becoming, one of the favorite things to do down here in Carbon County when the fights come to town.
And as far as the venue goes, well, it's hard to find a better place to hold these events in the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. I mean, it's been perfect over the last three or four shows.
Oh, for sure. It's a perfect fit for us. We're growing. This show is going to be sold out. It's going to be packed in there. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. Four of my local fighters on the card. I expect to hear that crowd, loud to cheer on our hometown boys. So it's going to be fun.
Well, let's talk about some of those local guys who are on this card. First off, the main event's going to feature Cy Nelson. He'll go up against Nate Kersley. Nate Kersley, a very familiar name with Fierce MMA as well. We've seen him on a couple of cards. I like this fight a lot, taking place at, 155, right?
Yeah, 155 lightweight division. So, yeah, it's a very fun fight right there. As a promoter, as a fan, that's on paper right there. That's a great matchup right there. Great fight for both those guys. Nate trains with some really good guys up there in Salt Lake. But Cy's down here training with us. And, I'm looking Cy to do big things in this fight. Coming off a two-fight losing streak, he's hungry. He's mad. He's going to give the fans what they want. But I think this is going to be a great turning point for Cy in his career as he he's learned a couple lessons from his last couple fights, made some adjustments, and I expect to see the best Cy Nelson out there that you're going to see.
I know we'll talk to Cy a little bit later on in the show, but this is an important fight for him. I mean, you mentioned he's lost two consecutive fights. The fact is he was at one time 3-0 as a professional.
Yeah.
It's hard. Is it hard to bounce back from two consecutive losses as a pro?
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, there's, a lot of guys, even at the highest levels, they'll at some point or the other probably go through, a couple fight losing streak. And there's things you got to kind of take a hard look at and look at yourself in the mirror and say, what are things I need to work on? What do I need to adjust? And you keep grinding, but you get back on that saddle, train harder, train smart, and you get back in there and size a fighter. So, that's what I feel like this guy was born to do. So has the whole mentality. He lives the lifestyle. And guy actually just he loves to fight. He wants to go out there and he wants to crack. He wants to bang. And he's a killer inside the cage. So look for Cy to put some hands on Kersley in this fight. So it'll be good.
Two belts, right? We have two belts up for grabs.
Yeah, two amateur belts on the line. One of my fighters, Blanco Chavez, man, the guy is an absolute workhorse. He, no one out works him inside of the gym. He's, you know, he does all the right things. You know, he's coachable. He listens. You know, and he's still such a raw talent. You know, compared to where he was probably 2 years ago with us, I mean, it's a night and day difference, and he just continues to get better each and every day. And that is because a large part is due to his work ethic. You know, he's first person at the gym, he's the last person at the gym, trains hard, you know, lives the lifestyle. You know, he's training like a professional as an amateur. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about this kid, just his energy inside of the gym. You know, he's great with the kids. He's, you know, great with other teammates. He's just a real positive guy to be around, and, you know, one of the leaders on our team.
Maybe this is something that's pretty regular, but he's a killer in the cage. When he's out of the cage, he's not a killer. You would never know.
He's, you know, you'd think he's like a little Buddha or something. You know, he's just so humble. You know, he's humble in victory. He's humble in defeat. Just the guy is just radiates, you know, great energy. And just a true workhorse and, you know, a fun, positive person to be around. And I'm so glad he's a part of our gym.
What does his matchup bring John McComas? I mean, what stands in front of Blanca in this fight?
He's got a pretty tough guy. He's, I believe he's 4-2. But all of his, four wins have been within the first round in under 35 seconds. So the guy's a finisher. And, you know, John Boy was talking a little bit of smack, you know, coming up to this fight saying, you know, Blanca isn't a finisher. He only wins by decision. You know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to finish him in front of his hometown. So, you know, there's a little bit of hype right there and stuff. You know, John Boy always talks up a big game and, you know, brings a kind of gives the fans what they want. But, you know, look, there's going to be some animosity between these two. You know, Blanca's going to go out there and try to prove a point to John Boy that, you know, he is a finisher. Blanca's just fought some tough guys, and, you know, a couple of those fights probably could have been stopped. But, you know, a win's a win. And, you know, Blanca, those finishes will come for Blanca as he continues to grow. He's not just a guy that's going to just hold you down or doing lay on top of you. He's well-rounded. He can knock you out. He can sub you, or he can grind out a win. So, you know, Blanca's my boy. He's look for him to finish this fight.
The other belt that'll be on the line, Thomas Prestridge, goes up against Brandon Reese.
Yeah, this is actually been a lot of talk about this fight. There's a Utah blog, MMA blog, this guy, Doug Gibson, writes, and he's said that fight alone is worth buying a ticket to, just to come watch that fight. This is actually a rematch of these two guys. Thomas just won his first amateur belt on the Steel Fist promotion up in Salt Lake, and he's actually fought Brandon before and lost, I believe it was a split decision. So, you know, we get a rematch of two guys that had a very, very close fight. I've trained with Thomas for a long time. Super great kid, very well-rounded, awesome jiu-jitsu, and he goes out there to bring it. He's fought down here before in Price, and he doesn't care if he gets hit. He wants to, you know, he'll crack. I mean, after one of his fights down here, the kid's nose was sideways and just went back there, and Doc popped it right back in, and he brings it. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch.
I'm definitely looking forward to the debut of Holden and Mason Sorensen. These are two kids that I've actually been around a lot based off of the, you know, the coverage that we've given on some of the fights and just being around the gym with you a couple of times. It's been a long time in the making, and we're going to hear from both these kids, but they've put in the time over the last few years to get to this point.
Yeah, you know, they've been training for over 3 years with us now and just kind of patiently waiting. You can't fight until you're 18, and they turned 18 back in December, and they're still seniors in high school, and, you know, we're ready to release them to the world, I guess is what we're trying to say. But, no, they're great kids, you know, both super, super talented. You know, they both work hard, both have a great mindset, well-rounded from top to bottom. They can strike, they can grapple, they can wrestle, they can submit. So look for big, big things for these two. You know, they're so young, so raw. You know, who knows? These guys could have the potential to, you know, do something with this potentially as a career. So it's up to them how hard they want to work and how far they want to take it.
We'll definitely talk to both of these guys a little bit later on in the show. Is it going to be difficult for you not to be able to be in these corners? Because you can't corner the fight, right?
Well, there's a chance I might be cornering the fight. The commission may give me a little bit of leeway here on this card. We'll see come fight night. But, yeah, if I'm unable to corner it, it's tough, you know. that's the kind of trade-off of being a promoter as well. But I do got some guys, you know, here that they'll be able to corner them, and I'll be cage side. They'll hear me screaming, hear me yelling one way or the other, whether I'm not officially a corner or not. But you know, they're ready. They'll have solid advice in their corners and then take care of cuts or anything. But you know, it's I'm hoping to be out there in their corner with them.
What is the best fight on this card that we haven't talked about yet? Is there one in particular that you look at and you say, you know what, that's the one that I'm really looking forward to that we haven't mentioned?
Oh man, there's a you know, that Weston, I'm not pronouncing it, Nevold, Kivenvold, him and Kevin Torres. From what I'm hearing from both camps, you know, both heavy-handed. Kevin's aunt's actually Misty Birch, the HR director out at the hospital, so I know he's going to have a lot of fans, you know, from down here as well as coming up from Salt Lake. I think that has the potential to be a real, you know, scrap fight right there. Two heavy-handed guys, both work trained really hard, both coming out of really good camps. You know, that Brian Miller and Michael Farrar fight right there that we're opening with, I think that has a chance to be a real scrappy fight. Both guys, you know, trained hard, and from what I hear from both camps, you know, I could see an absolute dog fight in that fight right there. Maybe calling for a slobber knocker right there. So I don't know, top to bottom, there's some great fights on this card. You know, that Sean Cook, and Torres fight, both two tiny guys that they're fighting at the 125 class, but I know Sean, watch this kid when he comes out, he's going to come out and just absolute swinging to take the kid's head off. So I could see a knockout in that fight for
could
sure.
Could be quick.
Yep.
Could be a quick fight.
So,
well, we're going to talk about the card front to back. And again, we're going to be joined by a couple of participants in the card. We're going to be joined by Holden and Mason Sorensen. We'll also catch up with Cy Nelson as we preview Fierce Fighting Championships P-Town Beatdown. It's going down this Saturday at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. We'll be back in just a moment. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the Carbon Dino Soccer Squad opened up the regular season, which also happened to be the first region meet of the year, yesterday at home against the Union Cougars. In a game that was a defensive battle back and forth, Carbon and Union finished in a tie. A scoreless tie, 0-0, as the two teams went back and forth throughout the contest. Neither team could knock in a goal in the double overtime battle, which means Carbon is now 0-0-1. They'll look to get back and log their first win of the season on Friday, tomorrow, when they return against Waterford. This will be a home contest, which is scheduled to begin at 3:30 p.m. The Dinos will then resume region play next Tuesday. That'll be a home tilt with Providence Hall. We move over to junior college sports, and this past weekend, the USU Eastern men's baseball team earned four straight wins over Colorado Northwestern to improve to 4-0 in conference play, putting them in first place going into the second week of conference action. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by manager Scott Mattson, and he talked about the level of play his team showed this weekend.
Early, we struggled, leaving a whole lot of runners on base, and last weekend, it all seemed to come together with our hitters. They did a good job of hitting when we had runners in scoring position.
USU Eastern got solid contributions from two former Carbon Dinos. Jared Lesser recorded a win on the hill in one of the games. And then in the fourth contest of the series, it was Cole Fawcett pitching four scoreless innings while also registering three RBIs. Now, USU Eastern will return to the field this weekend. They'll travel on the road. They'll take on Salt Lake Community College in a four-game set Saturday and Sunday. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll continue to talk USU Eastern baseball over the next couple of months during conference action. We move back over to high school sports and take a look at the schedule here in the Castle Country today. The Carbon Lady Dino softball squad will look to improve to 2-0 following a victory over Emory High School on Tuesday as they travel on the road to meet Pineview. Now, this will be the first of a busy weekend for the Lady Dino softball squad following tonight's contest against Pineview. They'll participate in the St. George Tournament Friday and Saturday before returning home next week. Again, the Lady Dinos are currently 1-0 after topping Emory on Tuesday. On the Emory High School side of things, the baseball team will look to log their first victory of the year. They will travel to Mesquite, Nevada, where they will participate in 4 games in 3 days. The softball squad will travel to Spanish Fork. They'll play in doubleheader action today. And the Emory High School soccer team will look for their second consecutive win as they travel also to St. George. The soccer team was in action yesterday, earning a victory over Gunnison 5-1. Parker Sermon scored his 4th goal of the year as he registered a hat trick, scoring 3. Brock Winter scored 1, and Tanyan Allred added another. We move over to the national sports scene, and last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the Utah Jazz were victorious once again. This time, they blasted the Indiana Pacers 104-84 as the Jazz improved to 35-30 on the season. The Jazz are still trying to track down a playoff spot out of the Western Conference. They'll return to the court tomorrow to take on the Memphis Grizzlies at 6 p.m. And we end by moving over to MMA. On Saturday night, it'll be the P-Town Beatdown as Fierce Fighting Championship returns to the Carbon County Event Center to gear up for the event today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. The show will be geared towards the event. We'll be joined by owner and promoter Cody Bunderson, as well as local fighters Cy Nelson, Mason, and Holden Sorensen. They'll all preview their upcoming bouts this weekend. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
Back on Drive Time Sports, special edition of the show here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Again, we are previewing everything going down Saturday for Fierce Fighting Championships P-Town Beatdown. It'll be taking place at the Carbon County Event Center. Tickets are on sale right now at FierceFightingChampionship.com. And we're going to start talking to some local fighters. Now, joining me in the studio right now, we have an amateur fighter who will be stepping into the cage for the very first time, Holden Sorensen. Holden will be going toe-to-toe with Simon Prado at the 135-pound weight class. Holden, a pleasure to get you in today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me out.
Definitely. I know you're probably getting extremely excited. I've kind of seen you grow up through the cage over the last couple of years. You know, the random stops that we've had at the radio station down at the gym, or the events that we have covered with Fierce Fighting Championship. And now your time has finally come. You get to go into the cage.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've been waiting a long time. Ever since I started training, I've been wanting to fight and get in the cage. And the time's finally here. It'll be this Saturday.
As far as the build-up and the prep work that has gone into it, I mean, you mentioned it, 4 years. And I had talked to Cody a couple of times, and he was very, very patient with you guys. He wasn't going to put you into the cage until he felt that you were ready. What's that like, waiting 4 years to get into the cage, when what got you into it in the first place was, hey, I want to step in, I want to go toe-to-toe with people? What was that like, waiting 4 years?
It always felt like I was never going to fight, just because I was always training, but never training to compete or to fight. But training in that sense has given me a different appreciation for the sport and for the martial arts that I've trained, other than just stepping in the cage.
So what are some of the things that you've done between, you know, now and the beginning that have prepared you to go toe-to-toe with someone at the amateur ranks?
I think mostly just ever since I started when I was 15, and ever since I was 15, I've been fighting fully grown adults after school every day. So I think that I'll at least be ready for whatever comes my way in the cage, because I've always been preparing against people who are bigger and stronger and better than me, and I've been getting beat every day. And I'm thinking Saturday's finally my time to not get beat anymore.
As far as some of the other things that you would do away from the cage, I mean, did you participate in, I know Muay Thai, right? You guys put a heavy emphasis on that.
Yeah.
Have you participated in any amateur tournaments in that regard?
No, I have not competed in any jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai at all. This will be my first time. I'll get to test the skills I've acquired over the years.
Yeah, but you got to work with people who have plenty of experience in that
regard.
Yeah,
plenty of people who have professional experience.
How much of a benefit has it been for you to just be around people that want to do this for a living? I mean, you mentioned it, the adults. I mean, being around Cody, being around Cy Nelson, being around Mike Jones, these are guys that do it for a living, that want to do it for a living. Is that a big benefit?
Yeah, I think so. It's shown me the good side of the sport, I think, and the side of the sport that everyone should get to know. And it's helped me, it's shown me the kind of mindset I should have when I fight, or when I should work towards my fights and stuff like that. And just being around those group of guys, they're all just a bunch of, they're all a good group of people. And I don't know, if you come out anytime to the gym, they'll always support you out there, and they'll always welcome you to the gym, no matter what your problems are outside of the gym.
It seems like it's a family environment. I mean, you have some great role models out there, and that's what they are. They're role models because you guys are so young.
Oh, yeah. The guys out at the gym, they're my second family. If next to, like, my friends I've been friends with since elementary school, these are the next closest people I have.
Let's talk about your opponent. Do you know anything about him at all?
His name's Simon Prado, and he trains out of Tooth and Claw MMA in Heber. But he'll be making his MMA debut as well this Saturday, so there's not much I can look up about him or know about him, but I think we're both just ready to get in the cage and fight.
Is that good or bad? Would you prefer there to be video on him?
It doesn't make a difference to me, because like, you can look up a fight plan, but or you can come up with a fight plan, but at the end of the day, you can't ever control how a fight goes. You always have to fight where the fight goes, not where you want it to go.
Cody, who has played such a big role in you guys getting to where you're at today, he can't be in your corner for this fight. Does that play a factor? Is that something? Do you wish Cody could be in that corner with you?
I always wish Cody could corner me. I mean, he's the one who's really brought me up and shown me how to fight, so no one knows my game better than Cody, but I have people that could corner me that I know they know what they're talking about, and they know how to coach me through whatever I got to do. And I'm not too worried about it.
How long have you been working to make weight and get set for this fight?
I've been working since December, but I've only had to cut 5 or 6 pounds, so it hasn't been too much of a hard weight cut.
You're fighting at 135, right?
Yeah.
So basically you're walking around weight for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad then at all. What's fight week been like for you? I mean, has it been kind of what you expected? Because you've been around it for so long, you've seen guys prepare for fight night during the week, or has it been a little bit different?
Hasn't been too crazy. I've just been trying to sell tickets, finish off selling tickets, working out a little bit, but not overworking my body to where I'm not recovered, because this is my recovery week before the fight, so I'm trying not to overwork myself too much.
Could you step in the cage right now?
Yeah.
You feel like you could go right now if you could?
Oh, yeah.
What's Friday night going to be like? I mean, you get the weigh-in. Are you going to sleep at all Friday night?
I'm hoping so. I think that's when I'm going to start really getting nervous, is Friday night. Saturday morning leading up to the fights, but I'm just excited to weigh in and get ready to fight and see the guy in person and just get ready to beat him up.
Now, I've seen you and Mason around a lot, like I said, around the gym and around these events. You guys seem like you have a very cool temperament. It seems like you guys are typically very, very calm. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's something I try to be. That's definitely something the gym has helped me with, is keeping a level head and keeping my thought process about me before I react about stuff, I guess.
And I would assume that that's a very key element to have once you get in the cage.
Yeah, it definitely is. You can't just go in the cage and get punched once and then start spazzing out, because that's when you open yourself up and that's when you'll get hit.
They say everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mike Tyson said that once upon a time. Is that true?
Yeah. Because you could have a fight plan going into an MMA fight, but once you start getting hit and you start taking some really nasty shots, or you start getting wobbled and stuff, that doesn't matter. At that point, you're just trying to survive. You're not trying to execute your fight plan.
This is something that I'm sure it's only going to come with more time that you get in the cage, but we'll use a basketball reference here. It's a 6 or 7 point game. You have a lead, but before you know it, the opponent knocks down a couple of 3-point shots. It's so important in the game of basketball to not panic and stick to your game plan. That's got to be difficult when you're in the cage.
Yeah, it is, but that's part of being a fighter, is just facing adversity in the cage. And when things start to not go your way, you just got to make sure you have the heart to keep going and just keep on fighting. Because at the end of the day, if you have the will to win, you can win.
Yeah, well, you know, we talk about timed events like basketball. Look, you can win an MMA fight like that. Flash knockouts happen all the time.
Yeah.
Before you step into the cage, what's your final preparation going
to
be like?
I'm probably just going to be sitting back in the corner room, just listening to music, trying to stay calm, just be stretching out during the night for the fights. And once it starts getting closer to when I fight, I'm going to start warming up and get my first lung out, and then hopefully just walk into the cage ready.
You'll be performing in front of your hometown. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's something I'm glad I have the opportunity to do for my MMA debut, is actually fighting Price in front of all my peers and my family.
Right. You go to high school, so I'm sure that a lot of people have been talking about this at the high school as well.
Yeah, a lot of my friends are going. A lot of people from school, I'm sure, are going. Whether or not they want to see me win or lose, I'm sure there's going to be some people from the school there.
And that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It takes both sides, right?
Yeah, sells tickets.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Holden, it was great to talk with you. I really appreciate you stopping by today. Best of luck when you step into the cage on Saturday, and we'll see you at the fight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me out.
That's Holden Sorensen getting set to step in the cage this Saturday against Simon Prado. We got a break for just a moment. We come back, we're going to talk to Mason Sorensen. And still straight ahead, we have Cy Nelson joining us in the studio. Special edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're back right after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Beagles.
We're back on a special edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 1073 FM 750 AM, previewing Saturday's event. Fierce Fighting Championships, P-Down, Beatdown, going down at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Tickets are on sale right now at fiercefightingchampionship.com. Last break, or segment, I should say, we talked to Holden Sorensen. Now we're going to talk to his twin brother, Mason Sorensen, who will also be stepping into the cage for the very first time. Great to get you in today, Mason. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Mason, you were getting set to step into the cage with Jeff Prado. You're going to be on the same card as your brother. That's pretty cool. You're going up against, well, you two Sorensen brothers are going up against two brothers in themselves, right?
Yeah.
Are they twins too?
No, they're not. I think Holden's guy's like a year or two older than him, but my guy's like 19, so he's like a year older than me, if that.
You feel ready?
Yeah. Feel ready. I've been sharpening my skills through this fight camp since December, so I feel ready. I'm ready to go.
We were talking to Holden about the build-up. It's been a while since you guys actually started your training, and Cody, I know, was very meticulous in placing you guys in the cage at the right time in the amateur ranks. Does it feel like it's the right time? I mean, that build-up, that 4 years, 3.5 years, whatever it was that you've been working out at the gym, do you understand the process of it now?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's my time, and I feel ready to go. I've been putting in the work for this, and it's time to go. It's been 3 months now since I started this fight camp, and slowly it's gone by week by week, and now we're only a few days out, and I never felt more ready to fight.
What's been the biggest challenge for you during fight camp?
The biggest challenge is probably just staying in shape. Once you get in really good shape, it's just about maintaining that and then pushing it even further.
Cardio-wise, how do you feel?
I feel good. I feel ready.
So what are some of the training methods that you implement during fight camp that maybe differ from what you do on a regular basis?
A lot more cardio.
In which way? Is that just running, doing stairs? I mean, what are you
running,
doing?
Running, doing the air bike, we've done some stairs, just as much cardio as I can do.
As far as the cardio aspect of it goes, do you feel that you have everything that you need to go the distance if this fight was to go all three rounds?
Yeah, I feel ready. Never felt more in shape in my life, so I mean, if it goes to the third, I'll be ready to go to the third and more.
This is an interesting scenario because, again, we talked to Holden. He's at Carbon High. You're at Carbon High right now. A lot of kids this time of the year are preparing for baseball. They're preparing for track and field. You know, they're doing that kind of stuff. You guys step into the cage. That's just something that you don't see at the high school very often. You're the only two at the high school, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah.
How different is that?
It's different. I mean, you don't really talk to people about it because no one really can understand it as good as me or my brother can. So, I mean, just really keep to myself about it and just keep my head down. But I've just been focusing on this fight camp and kind of shut the whole outside world out just getting ready for this. So
it's just a different world. I mean, if you're a basketball player, obviously teachers and you know, people at the school, they can have a conversation about the basketball season with these kids. Do teachers interact with you about MMA?
I mean, the closer it's gotten, more have asked me, like, when the fights are, but no one really, like, talks to me about, like, what I'm thinking before I go in, or, like, what kind of game plan I have, or just, like, what kind of techniques I'm going to try to execute more than others. Like, people really just don't understand as well unless you've been in the gym training.
Is this something that you, I mean, does your life revolve around MMA when you're not at the gym? Are you at home watching it, studying it? I mean, what's your love like for the sport itself?
I mean, since I found out about this fight 3 months ago, all I've been thinking about is this fight. Like, that's all my focus has been on. Like, I've dreamt about it. I've woke up. I've thought about training. I get to the gym. I train. I go home. I think about it more. I dream about it. I wake up, and it's just been a continuous cycle for the last 3 months. It's all that's been on my mind. So I've been ready. I've been pushing myself. And sooner or later, like, it's going to get here, and what's going to happen is going to happen. But I know I've done what I can to prepare, and I'm ready.
What's the end game for you? I mean, you're so young getting into this sport. What's the ultimate goal for Mason Sorensen?
The ultimate goal is just to prove that, you know, I can go out there, local kid, small town. I can go out there, I can compete. I can go and I can perform on these huge platforms that you don't usually see local kids compete on, you know? Like, it'd be cool to get my name out there, to be able to do something that most people will never get the chance to do.
Is it developed into a love to where you want to do this for a living?
Yeah, I mean, you love it, but you hate it. But there's nothing that makes you feel like this. There's nothing else that makes you feel like this in the world. It's awesome.
You and I had a conversation off the cuff, and I asked you, what's your style going to be when you step into the cage? Because, again, this is your first fight ever. You like to strike, so you want to stand up on your feet.
Yeah, I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to go in there and stand and bang. Like, if this guy wants to stand and exchange combos and punches, I'm ready to do that. But at the same time, if he's ready to take it to the ground, I'm ready to roll with him and go for the submission. I mean, I'm ready wherever he wants to take the fight.
Who's been the biggest help to you at the gym? Who's a person or two that you've really relied on to get you set for this event on Saturday?
More than anyone, probably just Cody. I mean, any questions I have, no matter what time of day, he's there for me. He'll answer my texts. He'll answer my calls. Any questions I have, he'll reassure me. Even if I'm not feeling like too ready 1 week, like, he'll just be there. He'll support me. He's supported me. He's helped me since I was 16 years old. So, I mean, Cody's probably been one of the bigger motivators for this and one of the people who's been getting me ready. But I can't just, like, put all the progress that I've made onto him. Like, everyone at the gym has helped me get in shape. They've sparred with me. They've pushed me. I mean, everyone there has been there for me for this fight camp, and they're going to be there for me for this fight, and they're going to be there with me in the cage Saturday.
Who's been your who's the toughest opponent you've sparred with at the gym?
Cody, for sure.
Hands down. Not even close.
For sure.
Does it take you to school?
Sometimes, yeah.
You get the best. Have you ever got the better of Cody?
Not really, no. I mean, you can get the better of one or two strikes, but then he'll come back with six and head kick you. So, I mean, there's not much you can do.
As far as the final couple of days before you actually step into the cage, you step onto the scale, you weigh in, what are the next couple of days like for you?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm going to be pretty nervous just at weighing, seeing this dude in person. I've only seen pictures of him in, like, a short 15-second video of his first fight. So, I mean, I don't really know much about him. So once I weigh in, that's when the nerves are really going to start hitting me until I step in the cage, and it's just all going to go away.
The psychological aspect of the fight, that starts on Friday at the weigh-ins, right?
Yeah.
And so the psychology of it begins 24 hours before.
Yeah, that's when it's really going to start setting in, and it's going to be like, man, all this time, like 3 years, it's really happening. Like,
and it was all worth it.
Yeah.
Worth the process.
No matter what happens, win or lose, I'm going to go in there and give it my all, and I'm going to be happy with the outcome.
How much does it help having your hometown crowd behind you?
It helps a lot. I mean, I know I'm going to go in there with the crowd advantage, but I mean, at the same time, I feel like it puts more on the line, you know?
Is there a specific... Have you played the fight through in your mind? Is there a specific time? Is there a specific route you see this fight going, or at least in a perfect world, the route you would love to see it go?
I mean, I really don't see it going out of the second round, no matter which way it goes for me, win or lose. I don't see it going to the third, but no matter what happens, I know I'm going to be ready for whatever he throws at me.
You want to get in there, you want to get out, you want to get a win, right? I mean, that's what's important.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Mason, I definitely appreciate you stopping by today as well. Best of luck to you on Saturday, and we'll see you at the event.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Again, that's Mason Sorensen talking about the P-Town beatdown going down this Saturday. He'll be stepping in the cage for the very first time. Packed card, and the main event will feature Cy Nelson and Nate Kersley. That's going to be a tremendous bout. If you like MMA, that one right there is probably worth the price of admission. We're going to talk to Cy Nelson when we return here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 1073 FM and 750 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on the special edition of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 1073 FM, 750 AM. We are previewing this Saturday's event, Fierce Fighting Championships, P-Town Beatdown, going down at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Now we're going to talk to Cy Nelson. He's going to be a part of the main event. Cy, of course, a local fighter going toe-to-toe with Nate Kersley at 155 pounds. Cy, I always look forward to getting you in. Thank you for stopping by.
Hey, thank you for letting me come down and talk to you, Jordan. It's always a pleasure. So,
yeah, I have a great time talking with you. And once again, you're going to be headlining a Fierce Fighting Championship card. And to be honest with you, the makeup of this fight, just the matchup on paper, I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's got some very interesting dynamics to it. I mean, our records are pretty close. I've got one more win than him. I am 3-2, and he is also 2-2. But the flip side of that is I am coming off of two losses, and he is coming off of two wins. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting dynamics to this, and I'm excited for this fight.
Yeah, I want to talk about the mindset going into this fight. The last time we had you on, you were coming off of one loss. Things have changed for you, I know, quite a bit in your personal life. For instance, you have a daughter. You have a baby daughter.
Yeah.
And look, anyone who has ever had a baby daughter knows it just changes your mindset. It does. I got a three-year-old, completely different now than I was 3 years ago. You're a guy that has to use that rage in the cage in order to come out on top. Now coming off of two losses with the changes in your life, I mean, how do you approach the fight game?
You know, I've been trying to find that that sense of balance in my life right now, now being a father and trying to still pursue this fighting career. And it's been hard, and I don't know if I've actually really got it figured out yet. My last two fights, my wife was, we actually had the baby the week after I lost the first fight. And then, so what was the, when did we fight in Twill? In September?
September.
So,
yeah.
You know, 3 months later, I'm fighting again after I just had my first child and a daughter to boot. So it's been a crazy ride over this last year, but I think for this one, approaching this fight, I've finally got everything calmed down and with that part of my life, and I'm figuring out how to be a father at home and then still be, you know, a fighter in the gym and be able to make that thing work and be the two different people that I need to be at different times.
That's tough. I'm sure that's a very difficult dynamic to handle. And then with that being said, you're going up against Nate Kersley, who has a wrestling background. Again, he was a decorated wrestler at Utah Valley. He's coming off of two wins. It looks as if he has found his groove in the cage, which I'm sure it was a difficult transition for him at first as well. He's a dangerous opponent.
Yeah, he knocked out Nate McQuigley, and then he beat Tanner Cowan in Twila the same night that I lost. And yeah, he's definitely dangerous. He has some great training partners. He trains with Court McGee and Ramsey Nijum, and you know, he is a dangerous opponent, man. And I can't take that lightly. I can't just look past him and I can't look past anybody right now. I'm coming off of two losses, and it's hard to put myself in a position where I think that I'm just going to walk through anybody, and I'm definitely not going to walk through Nate. He's a great wrestler. I have no wrestling background. I personally think that I'm a good wrestler, and I've improved that part of my game over the years because that has been my weakness, is my grappling. And, you know, his last two fights, though, he didn't grapple at all. I don't think him and Tanner went to the ground even
not
one
once,
time.
Not one time.
And he knocked out Nate in like a minute and a half or something like that.
I think you'd have to go back to the Bobby King fight, which he lost, but he was within, I mean, if that round two, I think it was round two, if I remember off the top of my head, if it goes another 15 seconds longer, he probably wins that fight. But he did go down on the ground in that fight.
Yes, yes. And a lot of that had to do, I think, with that is he got tired in that fight.
He did, yeah.
And he had some desperation shots. And so I think that he wants to stand and fight. I think that that's who he identifies as a fighter. He's no longer a college wrestler. He is now an MMA fighter. And I think that he wants to stand up and fight with me.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. Again, Cy Nelson joining us right now in the studio as we preview Saturday's event. Cy will go toe-to-toe with Nate Kearsley in the main event of the Fierce Fighting Championship card at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. With that being said, how difficult is it for you to get to 155? Is that a struggle at all for you?
Not anymore. It has been before. I mean, I've got 16 fights over my entire career, 11 amateur fights, and 5 pro fights now. I think for maybe 4, maybe 5 of them, I've fought at 170 pounds. The rest I have fought at 55. So I've been to 55 almost a dozen times. And I remember, you know, years ago when I was fighting with the Collards out in Emory County, we were actually training in the wrestling room at Emory High because Brandon Wise was the coach for the wrestling team then. So we were getting to go down there and train down in there. But I remember times where the day of, I was out in like the middle of July with all these coats on and sweatpants and just running like 4 and 5 miles the day of, trying to get all of that water weight out of me. And then I've progressed so much further from them days. It's where it's so easy now because I've learned tricks with my diet. I've learned how to get my body fat lower so that it's easier to get the water off later on. And my last weight cut was perfect. I was literally on weight for 10 minutes. I showed up to weigh-ins and I was a half pound over the limit, which is okay because I still have another hour to make the weight. I went outside and I ran for 20 minutes and I cut that last half pound. I stepped on the scale. I was on weight and then I started rehydrating. So I was only as dehydrated as I will get for 10 minutes, you know, just as long as it took for me to get in line and get on the scale and then sign all my paperwork. And there's been, you know, there's been times where I've overshot it by 2 and 3 pounds, where I'm weighing in at, you know, 53, 52. And that's not good because of the way that I do it is I dehydrate myself and I drop all that water weight. So I've got it down almost to a science to where tomorrow I'm probably going to take, and I don't do any physical activity to get the water off anymore. I will actually take an Epsom salt bath tomorrow that will help me sweat, and I will probably only need 1, maybe 2 of them baths, and I'll be on weight, and I'll be good to go.
Well, let's end with this. If Nate Kearsley wants to just trade strikes, wants to trade blows up on his feet, I think that benefits Cy Nelson personally.
Right.
But I think that's what we're going to get tomorrow night, Saturday night. I really think that we're going to see a stand-up fight between you two, which, look, I'm a boxing guy, so I hope that's what we get out of it. But I think that benefits Cy, which means this fight probably doesn't get past the first round if Nate wants to stand and go blow-to-blow with you. That's my take on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I need to... Saturday night, I need to get in there and I need to almost approach it as a sparring match, like as a sparring round, because what happened when I fought David is I almost black out and I just look for that big punch and try to take him out right out of the gate, because, you know, my first 3 wins as a professional were all under 2 minutes. You know, I just go in there and I beat the crap out of people. When I fought Jordan Chandler, I beat the crap out of Jordan Chandler for like 4 minutes. And then after that 4 minutes and he was still in there, it threw me off so much. I was like, holy crap, that didn't work. Now what am I going to do? And that split second that I thought that's when he caught me, knocked me down, and ended up finishing me. when I fought David and Twilla, that's kind of the same thing happened. You know, I tried to throw the sink at him and the kitchen sink at him, and that didn't work. And it just kind of breaks me down psychologically. So I think Saturday night, I need to go in there, treat it like a sparring round, move around him. Hopefully he does stand up with me, because that's where I feel really comfortable. And I'm just going to look for the openings and hopefully capitalize in the first round and put him on his butt and finish him.
Si, I always look forward to the conversations. Best of luck as you go toe-to-toe with Nate Kearsley. We'll check you out on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Do you mind if I thank my sponsors?
Nope, go right ahead.
So I just want to thank everybody that has sponsored the fights this weekend. Ron's Meats, Sun Somewhere Realty, Three Little Llamas, Pine Top Medical, Tire King, Auto Farm, Castle Country Radio here with you guys, Purple Pear, FST, Castle View Hospital. And I really want to give a big shout out to these sponsors. They're my personal friends, and they have bought tables through me, and they are just great people that are helping us out. Tipsy Tavern, Shed Heads, Wilco Supply, and JLC Fabrication, and Badlands Fab and Machine. Thank you guys. Without you, this doesn't happen. And for everybody that's bought a ticket or a table from me, or has even just reached out and said good luck to me, I thank all of you. I love you guys. This doesn't happen without you, and I appreciate everything.
Si, we'll catch you Saturday. Thank you again for stopping by.
Awesome. Thank you, Jordan.
And with that, we are actually out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. But again, do not forget, tickets are on sale for Fierce Fighting Championship's next card. It's going to be this Saturday. The weigh-ins will be tomorrow at Balance Rock Eatery. Go check it out. P-Town Beatdown, brought to you by Fierce Fighting Championship. I want to thank Cody Bunderson, Si Nelson, Mason, and Holden Sorensen, and wish everyone good luck on that card. Travis Anderson will be back in the studio with me tomorrow, and we will talk more local and national sports. That's coming your way tomorrow. Be safe. We're out.